and sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
With my soul,
it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my fate shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
All right, sounds like you're ready for the offering this morning. All right, we'll take our offering today. Brother Jeff, if you'd help us. Brother John, come up. Marshall and Brother Ed, you guys. We're going to go with four today, two down the center and two down the sides. We actually, for those that are visiting this morning, we moved in last Sunday because we had to work out the bugs in our system. One of the things was figuring out how to do an offering, because in the size of our previous church building, it wasn't really that big a deal. But we've worked out some of the issues here. Hopefully it'll go smooth today. We encourage you to put your visitor cards in, and this is for your tithes and offerings also, for those that are members of Bible Baptist Church and any visitors that would like to contribute. We encourage you to do so today. Let's have a word of prayer as we take the offering this morning. Brother Jeff Braden, if you would, lead us in prayer, please. Amen. right. Thank you, Emily. We just want to let you know what the course of action is for our service today. Of course, when we finish here, right around noon, you might have smelled it when you came in. There's a fellow right outside of the building here on the east side, and he is out there cooking on a wood grill. He's cooking hamburgers and sausage sandwiches, and going to have also some hot dogs for the kids out there. And so everybody's welcome. We'll explain at the end of the service exactly how we're going to do those things. But we encourage everybody to stick around for lunch. We got enough for everybody, and we hope you can stay and be with us. We're thankful for everybody that's here visiting with us this morning. So we're glad you're here at this time. Brother John is going to come and sing for us.
When I came into this old world, I just can't recall. I don't remember anything about my birth at all. But one night down on my knees in prayer, oh, I never will regret. I've had a birth I can't remember, one I can't forget. But to the world it made no difference, some even frowned. But the angels rejoiced when my name was written down. Unworthy of his mercy, still he paid my debt. I've had a birth I can't remember, one I can't forget. It never made the morning paper, it never made the evening news. When I took off the old coat and he put on the new, my sins were cast into forgetfulness as far as east is from the west. I've had a birth I can't remember, one I can't forget. But to the world it made no difference, some even frowned. But the angels rejoiced when my name was written down. Unworthy of his mercies, still he paid my debt. I've had a birth I can't remember, one I can't forget. Unworthy of his mercy, still he paid my debt. I've had a birth I can't remember, and one I can't forget. When I was straying out in sin, my Savior spoke to me. His voice I gently heard as he said, come unto me. I'll make of you a child of God and set you free from sin. If you'll open up your heart, let me in. When Jesus knocked at my heart's door, I let him in. He came inside, and he found my heart was stained with sin. He gave me joy and peace the world could never know. He took my heart and he washed it white as falling snow. I'm happy now, and other souls I helped to win. Since I opened up my heart and let him in. When Jesus knocked at my heart's door, I wanted him to stay. When I accepted him, all my burdens rolled away. And now I know why Jesus died upon the cross that day. Since I opened up my heart and let him in, when Jesus knocked at my heart's door, I let him in. He came inside and he found my heart was stained with sin. He gave me joy and peace the world could never know. He took my heart and he washed it white as falling snow. I'm happy now, and other souls I helped to win, since I opened up my heart and let him in.
Take your hymnals, hymn number 30. Hymn number 30, please. Stand with me once again, if you would.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This last verse we're going to sing without the piano. And it goes, and join with me.
This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's beautiful, beautiful.
This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow.
Snow, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's beautiful, church. Shake hands before you're seated, please.
by your outside door. All right, if you would find your seats, please. Doesn't matter how long you take, I'm still going to preach long. We love to sing. We love to sing the old songs. We love to have fellowship with each other. We love to tithe. Amen. But most of all, we love the preaching time of the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do now. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture, John, chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. I love to hear the pages of the Bible turning. Okay, you should have found it by now. John chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 through verse number 7. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud the Gospel of John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer.
God, we pray now as we preach from the present word of God. gospel of Jesus Christ. May this very familiar text from John chapter 3 ring not only in the echoes of this building, but Father, ring in every heart that's present today. Lord, may the truth of the Word of God be impressed upon us and burned within our souls. I pray, Father, you convince us of the need to be obedient to the words of Jesus Christ as we've read them here. We pray, Father, should there be one today that entered this building that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, does not have a relationship with Him, is not sure their sins are forgiven, they have a home prepared in heaven for them. We pray, God, especially today, that you would sign up next to them through the preaching of your word. Speak to their heart by your Holy Spirit, put conviction in their soul. We pray for the redeemed, for the Savior, who already gathered here this morning. Father, this familiar text did bring put a smile on our face as we reflect back on the day that we trusted Christ as our Savior. Thank you for the precious word of God, for the reality of it, for the power of it. We pray, God, your Spirit now will be our teacher and our guide, that you would fill our hearts and souls with those things that are necessary for us to hear today. And for that which you do, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's precious name.
Amen. I would like you to look here in John chapter 3 this morning and underline, if you write in your Bible, two very familiar two-word phrases. First of all, there in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Then down in verse 7, those two words are repeated again, where Jesus said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. These two words are two words of utter importance. I might say these two words are words of eternal importance. Jesus said, you must be born again. I might point out this morning, these are not the words in this passage. These are not the words of a Baptist preacher. These are not the words of a Protestant fundamentalist. These are not the words even of an evangelical or a right winger. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he said, ye must be born again. Now someone would say, well, I've heard all about that born again stuff, but my church teaches. Or somebody would say, well, I've heard about that born again stuff, but grandma taught me. Or someone might say, well, I think or I believe. Can I say as respectfully as I can, that doesn't matter. That whatever you've heard or whatever you've been taught, wherever it came from, if it disagrees with Jesus Christ, he's always right and everybody else is wrong. And Jesus Christ himself said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. The great evangelist, the English evangelist George Whitefield, was once witnessing and talking to somebody and asked them the question and said, what do you believe? And the individual answered and said, well, I believe what my church believes. And so he continued on. He said, all right, what does your church believe? The person said, well, my church believes what I believe. And he said, all right, what do both of you believe? And they said, we both believe the same thing. It doesn't really matter what anybody believes. It matters what God says. And here the Bible is very, very clear. You know, somebody says, well, you say, well, you must be born again. Well, that's just your interpretation. Well, then interpret that for me, would you please? How do you come out with anything other than the fact that he said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And yet you can go into church after church after church in our day, and you'll go through services and sermons, and you'll never hear the necessity of being born again. Nobody ever used the phrase, you need to be born again. And yet Jesus made it imperative and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everything we talk about ought to center around the gospel of Jesus Christ and him saying, you must be born again. I'd like to preach this morning on being born again. I want you to see, first of all, the necessity of being born again. From our passage right here, we've made it very clear. It says in verse number 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse number 7, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There's this necessity of being born again. Who is it that needs to be born again? Well, we would say, well, those that are exceeding sinful. Those that are just terrible people and immoral and vile and vulgar people, they need religion. They need Jesus Christ. May I point out to you who Jesus Christ spoke these words to in these verses? Notice in verse number 1 it said, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now you and I know that the Pharisees were a hypocritical bunch. But some of them were very honest and sincere. This man Nicodemus himself is seeking out Jesus Christ for a personal interview. Going out of his way to find him. Now he's afraid. He's doing it by night because he doesn't want to be found out that he's doing it. The Pharisees would have his head if he did that. But he's got a desire. He wants to know. And so here is an honest, sincere, religious man coming to Jesus Christ. It's saying, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles except God be with him. And you know what Jesus' response to all that flattery was? Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Nicodemus. He's speaking to one of the sincere religious Pharisees. No matter how religious and good and moral a person is, Jesus still says to them, you must be born again. No matter how long they've gone to church and how much they've contributed or given, Jesus still says, you must be born again. No matter if daddy was a preacher and granddaddy's a preacher and your kids are preachers, it doesn't matter. You must be born again. It's for every individual. It's for Nicodemus. It's for those that are sinful, those that are religious, and everybody in between. This Pharisee, this moral, law-keeping, religious man, heard from Jesus Christ that his need was he must be born again. I can ask you a question this morning. Do you recognize the necessity of being born again? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you ever want to enter into heaven's shore after this life is over, you're only going to do it by one way. And that's by being born again. Jesus Christ himself said so. He's the one that will judge you in that day. He's the one that allows you to say the words to get in, so to speak. And those words are Jesus Christ. You must be born again. A lot of folks think, well, it's the poor and the uneducated. Those are the ones that need religion. They don't have wealth, they don't have money, they don't have intelligence, they don't have degrees, and so religion needs to be for them. But I might beg again and say that Nicodemus was none of those things. He was a very intelligent man. He was a ruler among the Jews. I'm reminded of a parable that Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke about this rich man whose farm brought in much more than he could handle. And so at the harvest time, when he was overrun with the fruits of his labor, he said, what shall I do? Because I've got no room to store all my goods. And he says, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger. Tear down my storehouses and build bigger. And the Bible said that the Lord came to him that night and said, thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose shall all these things be? Even the wealthy and the influent and the intelligent need to hear the same message that the poor and uneducated need. It's a message for everyone, no matter how old, how young, not how healthy, how unhealthy. Everybody has the same message. You must be born again. The necessity of the new birth. Notice it says in these verses, except a man be born again. He wasn't talking to just Nicodemus. He might have had an interview with him personally, but when he said these words, he was encompassing all of mankind for all of time. And he said, except a man. And of course, you understand biblical language is talking about mankind. That doesn't exclude women and children. But it says, except a man. That includes everybody. Except a man be born again. Say, preacher, don't you think on your own merit, your own goodness, your own works, your spirituality, you can get to heaven without Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Nobody can. It's not a one-man show. And may I say this, here's in today's phraseology, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And without him, you can't make it. He said, you must be born again. Why does a person need to be born again? The answer is simple. There is no other way to heaven. Can I make that any clearer? There is no other way to heaven. Again, we go back to saying, well, my church teaches, or grandma taught me, or I think, or I believe. It's a free country. You can think, believe, do anything you want to. But may I simply state this? The only way to get to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so the only way anybody's ever going to get to heaven is by faith in Jesus Christ. There are more religions in this world today than you can count. You can go on the internet and look up world religions and they'll give you a number. It'll change by tomorrow. And it'll change by the day after that. Because more religions are being found and discovered around the planet every single day. And so religion is not the thing that's going to get anybody into heaven. Somebody says, well, I've been baptized. Good for you. I go to church. Good for you. I tithe. Great for you. Those are good things, and those are things that every believer ought to do. But can I tell you by the authority of the Word of God that those things don't get anybody into heaven? You know, one of the saddest things in the world is somebody is going to spend their whole life, they're going to get baptized, they're going to join a church, they're going to give faithfully, they're going to attend year in and year out, and yet still die without Christ and go to hell. Because they've never accepted the message that Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It is the necessity of the new birth. You can't get into heaven any other way. Jesus said in John chapter 10, any man that comes up any other way is nothing more than a thief or a robber. Thieves and robbers don't always wear hoods and black masks and come around at night. Some of them stand behind platforms or pulpits and preach you can get to heaven by your good works. And tell you that by being baptized you can get into the kingdom of God. When Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You know what I appreciate about the Word of God? How simple and clear it is. I don't have to. In fact, you know, there's 1,500. In my Bible right here, there's 1,500 pages from Genesis to Revelation. And I think, man, how do I get to heaven? Oh, I've got to read all 1,500 pages and then figure it out. No, all I got to do is understand two words. Born again. Except a man be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. God has made it simple. The reason is because he said in 2 Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want to make the road to heaven hard. And so he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of man, to come down and bear the sins of mankind in his body and carry them to Calvary's cross and be crucified so that he could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The necessity of the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. Loving your neighbor is a good thing. Keeping the commandments. Go ahead and try. Try to keep all 10 of them in one day. If you know the Word of God, you know there's more than 10 commandments. There's 3,000 of them in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. The person says, well, I'm going to heaven by keeping the commandments. You say, which ones? You can't keep them all. It's impossible. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to fulfill the law because you and I can't keep the law. The Bible says in Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law simply shows us we can't keep it. We are sinners. We're fallen by nature and fallen by habit. We need somebody greater than us, and that's Jesus Christ. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you see this morning the clearness, the necessity of the new birth? Jesus said, I didn't say it. Jesus said, nobody else said it. Jesus said, you must be born again. There's the necessity of the new birth. Then look, if you would, at verse number 7, and let's see a second thing as we think about being born again. Not only is there the necessity of the new birth, but I want you to look in verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You must be. Notice the word be. You know what that is? That's the nature of being born again. The necessity of being born again and the nature of being born again. Now some folks will say, well, preacher, I agree that you need to be born again, but exactly what does born again mean? That's where they get hung up on it. That's why they try to put other things under the title of being born again. But I want you to see this morning that being born again is not a process. You're not in the process of being born again. You're not in the process of being saved. You're not in the process of becoming a Christian. Many times in traditional churches, they've got caught up with this thing where, you know, at 12 years old, you go into catechism and then you start learning this. And then by the time you're this age, maybe you get baptized. I'm not here to tell you one way or another about all that stuff. Can I just tell you this? That being born again is not a process of learning and grasping and getting a hold of it. Being born again is a one-time response to the Word of God that gets you birthed into the family of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not a process. You're not becoming a Christian. You're not becoming born again. You must be born again. This truth is confirmed over and over and over again in the New Testament. In the book of Acts chapter 16, you need not turn there. We'll turn to another one in just a moment. But in the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, as we've been studying recently at Bible Baptist Church and going through the book of Acts on Sunday morning, Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi for preaching the gospel. They got somebody converted that people didn't want to get converted. They got a young woman that was devil-possessed and her owners were making money off of her fortune-telling and soothsaying. And when Paul preached and she got saved, the owners weren't real excited about that. And so they took Paul and Silas and threw them into the jail. While they're in the jail, instead of licking their wounds and complaining and murmuring, the Bible tells us that at midnight they were singing praises to God and praying. And that was such an unusual sight for that prison to have people in it that were reacting to imprisonment by praying and preaching that the walls began to shake. An earthquake hit the place. And when the earthquake came, it didn't knock the walls down or the ceiling. It just shook the prison doors open and dropped the chains off of Paul and Silas's ankles. And the prison guard, when he looked in and saw all the doors open, figured everyone was gone, was ready to kill himself. Because he knew by Roman law, if he let any prisoners go, his life or theirs. Before he could do it, Paul called out to him and said, "Sir, do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the Bible says he sprang in. He got in as quick as he could. He sprang in before them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can a man be born again?" Here's the question we're looking for. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul, this is your opportunity. Tell him, is it baptism? Is it speaking in tongues? Is it the second blessing? Is it joining the church? Is it singing in the choir? Is it giving money? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the biblical response and answer by Paul was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Don't you just love the simplicity of that answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the nature of the new birth. It's not works, it's not labors, it's not human effort. It's believing on Jesus Christ. A lot of folks say, "Well, I just can't believe it can be that easy." I understand. I have difficulty too. It can't be that easy. But it is. Jesus Christ guaranteed it. My salvation was not easy. My Savior had to die on the cross and suffer all the wounds that were inflicted upon Him because of my sin, because of your sin. It wasn't easy to save you. But it's easy for you to get saved because He already did it for you. You know, really, if you wanted to get saved, if it was possible, if you wanted to get saved, you know what you'd have to do? Do what Jesus Christ did. Be beaten, be mocked, be ridiculed, crown of thorns put on your head, spear put in your side. People spit in your face, slap you across the face, then nail you to a cross and put it up in the ground and crucify you and say, you know, "If thou be a just man, come down," and do all that. If you could do all that yourself to save yourself, that's the only possibility you'd have, although the Bible already tells us you can't do it anyways. But Jesus Christ did that for you. Somebody says, "Well, it can't be as easy as believe." God made it that easy. He wanted that to be the nature of salvation. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Turn, if you would, in your Bible, if you're in John chapter 3. After John is Acts and then the book of Romans. And again, I know many folks struggle with the nature of being born again. "Preacher, it just can't be that easy." We'll get to it in a minute, but I can tell you it is that easy. And it works. And boy, does it work. The nature of the new birth. It's not a process. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And in Acts 16, that Philippian jailer believed and his household. And then after that, they were baptized. They did what they should do. But to get saved, all they did was believe. Notice here in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, you know this text. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Can you see the immediateness of salvation and the instantaneousness of salvation? Verse number 9 is not describing a week-long process, or a month-long process, or a year-long process. It is telling you that if you will, one time in your life, from your heart sincerely, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Being born again is not a process, it's an act of faith. Verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession not to one another, not to any human being, but confession to God. Saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I understand you died on the cross for my sins, and I by faith receive you. Notice it says in verse number 13 of that same chapter, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that guarantee. Shall be saved. It's simple. It's clear. It's clean. All you have to do is believe. That's the nature of salvation. You remember the story of the thief on the cross. Jesus is crucified between the two other thieves. One of the thieves railed on Jesus, said, if thou be the Son of God, come down, save thyself and us. But the other thief looked at him and said, don't you understand that we're here justly for the things we've done? But this man had done nothing amiss. And that thief on this side looked at him and said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you know what Jesus turned and said to him? If you don't get baptized, you can't make it. Sorry, if you don't keep the commandments, you can't make it. Hey, you're a thief dying on the cross. You've got to get down, go do a bunch of good works for you. No, you know what Jesus said? When he said, Lord, remember me, that calling out, that act of faith. You know what Jesus said? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. See, it is that fast. It is that quick. It is that easy. It comes by believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We all know John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in him. The Bible is clear over and over again. Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The nature of being born again is simply faith. Simply believing what Jesus Christ said and what Jesus Christ did and accepting it for yourself. In the book of Titus chapter 3 verse 5, the Bible says this, Titus chapter 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Again, I believe in good works. I believe in clean living. I believe in growing in grace and watching not only where your feet go, but what your mouth say, what your eyes watch, what your ears take in. I believe all that. But salvation isn't by those things. Those are fruits of salvation, not what leads into salvation. And the only thing that can save somebody, Jesus said, is a man being born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Again, familiar verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. See, that's what mankind is beating themselves to do today. If I can just merit God's favor, if I can earn his forgiveness. And the Bible says, not of works. And by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what the greatest comfort many religious people have found in their life? When they gave up on religion and simply trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. When they stopped feeling they had to earn it and deserve it, which you never can. And simply putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ and being born again by the Spirit of God, that's the nature of being born again. We've talked about the necessity of it. We've talked about the nature of it. And then lastly, I want to tell you this morning about the newness. The newness of being born again. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, he said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what this educated leader of the Jews, this Pharisee religious man, you know what he said in response to that? How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We've got kids down in fourth grade Sunday school down there that know better than that. And here's a leader of the Jews. He couldn't understand what and so Jesus took the natural birth of man that he was talking about and likened it to the new birth so that Nicodemus could understand it. He took the natural birth and compared it to the spiritual birth so that Nicodemus could comprehend and see his need for being born again. When we think about natural birth, we think about the newness. That little baby being freshly born and freshly come from the mother's womb and being held in our hands is in a state of complete innocence. No guile in their heart, in their mouth, or in their mind. A fresh start in life. Everything is before them, nothing is behind them. And Jesus used that to illustrate what being born again is all about. When a person is born again, everything now is new, everything is fresh, everything is before them, and nothing is behind them. Everything they've done before that was a violation to God, has now been forgiven and forgotten, and you've got a new start when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look, if you would, in the Bible here, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, thank God for this verse. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know why we wait and let you turn and look at it? Because we want to make sure you see it's from God, not from some man. We want you to see it on the page of Scripture in black and white. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We're talking about the newness of being born again. When you get saved, when you get born again by the wonderful grace of God, you have a clean slate before God. Everything you've done before that causes you to be vile and infected and disobedient to God has been completely wiped clean, and you're given a newness of life. That's why that comparison was made between the natural birth and the new birth back in John chapter 3. You know what happens when somebody gets saved? The drunkard is delivered from alcohol. The addict is delivered from drugs. The pornographer, the pedophile, the homosexual is delivered from a vile, wicked lifestyle. And those with wicked tongues and wicked minds and wicked hearts, and I might not have got you on drunkard or drug addict or any of the other immoral stuff, but those with wicked hearts and wicked minds and wicked tongues, which just about encompasses everybody here. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked," talking about every single one of us. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. And yet God can take every lost sinner that comes to Him and clean them up. And make them whole. And give them a new start. And you know what happens when that happens? You know it's happened. See, if salvation was a process, you'd never know when you got it. If salvation was making your good works outweigh your bad works, how would you ever know when you tilted the scale enough to work it in your favor? You'd never know that point was crossed. There's never a time where the Bible says, "All right, here's the line, and now you've crossed it. Now you have eternal life. I give it to you because you've now done more good works than you ever did bad works." Those things are impossible to determine. But God says, except a man be born again. He knows when you've been born again. And you know what? You know when you've been born again. You know when that newness has taken place. Now people react to it differently. Some folks will get saved, they'll trust Christ as their Savior, and they'll just bawl like a baby. The realization that their sins have been forgiven and the load has been lifted will just hit them, and they will cry and cry and cry. Other people react differently. I remember when my dad got saved. He's 45 years old when he got saved. And I remember what he said to me when he got saved. I wasn't there when he got saved. Pastor Petty, our pastor back in Michigan, was there. But after I talked to him and when he told me he got saved, he said, "For the first time in my life, I feel clean." 45 years old. You know, no process makes you feel clean like that. No development gives you that feeling. It's only the feeling that comes from trusting Christ as Savior and being born again into the precious family of God. Those of you this morning that have been saved, those of you that have been born again, when I explain these things, you remember that feeling. You remember that day as well as I do, the day you trusted Christ as Savior. And I remember when I got saved, when I walked out, I thought the grass looked greener, the sky looked bluer, nothing had changed colors, but there was a freshness, a cleanness I'd never seen in my life before. That's the newness of being born again. Have you experienced that this morning? The necessity of it. You must be born again. You'll never get to heaven without trusting Christ as Savior. The nature of it, not by works, not by your efforts, not by human attainment, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And then all the wonderful newness of being born again. The feeling that you experience. And again, it's not feelings and it's not about experiences. But thank God He gives you that when you get born again. He gives you that when you get saved. Because you just realize that all those years of struggling and all those years of fighting and all those years of trying to earn God's approval or thinking you never could have all been wiped away by one simple prayer of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive your sins and save your soul. The newness of the new birth. I wonder this morning, are you born again? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This morning, if you're not born again, it doesn't matter what else you are. He said, well, I'm not born again, but I'm a Baptist. Then you're a lost Baptist. I'm not born again, but I'm a Methodist. Then you're a lost Methodist. Doesn't matter what religion you are. Well, I don't go to church anywhere. Then you're a lost nothing. It doesn't matter. You've got to be born again. And if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you right now the warning and with all the compassion I can muster in my heart, you're heading to hell. Without Jesus Christ, there's no other way to get to heaven and there's no other place to go. And it's not that God wants you to go there. He gave His only begotten Son. He allowed Him to be beaten and mocked and ridiculed and crucified on Calvary's cross to such an extent that He had to turn His back on His own Son. And His Son looked up and said, my God, my Father, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? You caused that separation between God the Father and God the Son. And you won't get away with it unless you're born again. Unless you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Marvel not, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. We're going to invite you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, to come and be born again. You're not joining the Baptist church. You're not joining this church. We're just simply crying out to you and saying, hey, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We want to give you an opportunity to be born again. If you come down at the invitation time, somebody will take a Bible and show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this moment, have that newness we're talking about right now. It's possible for you to get today. You might have come in today thinking, oh, this will be great, new church, you know, and big building, a lot of folks are there, and it'll just be a big, exciting time. What greater thrill could it be for this to be the day that you're born again into the kingdom of God? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Brother Jay, our song leader, will come. Emily will come play the piano.